May I speak and may you hear in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Well, today is Epiphany Sunday, which marks both the end of Christmas time, which means today is the last day we can say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thank you, very kind. But today also marks the beginning of Epiphany Tide. Merry Epiphany. Yeah, it's not quite the same, is it? But it's an important season. It follows on from Christmas. Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem to his blessed mother Mary. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Epiphany, which comes from the Greek for I appear. Epiphany is about the truth that Jesus, of the truth of Jesus coming to earth, being made known to us. In this season, the church traditionally looks at three epiphanies, three times Jesus made himself known to people. The first is what we think about today, when Jesus made himself known to people from the east. The second is Jesus' first miracle, when he turned water into wine at the wedding at Cana, revealing his miraculous ability. And lastly, Jesus' baptism, when Jesus was made known publicly by the coming of the Holy Spirit like a dove, and the voice of the Father saying, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." Epiphany. We sometimes say it, don't we? I had an epiphany. You got something going on in your life that you're not too sure how to solve it. Then one day you're doing something totally unrelated, the washing up, and then, epiphany. Something is made known to you, almost as if out of nowhere. Now, of course, that kind of epiphany is usually as a result of your own reasoning. You've been thinking about it for a long time, and suddenly the solution comes to you. So it's not really an epiphany, because epiphanies actually come from outside ourselves, not from within ourselves. So what I want to talk about today is Magi from the East, Epiphany, and Grace. Magi from the East, Epiphany, and Grace. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Wise men came from the east. And what I want to suggest, and please follow me through with this, they weren't wise. Well, they were in one sense. In one sense, they were very wise. People throughout the Roman Empire would have seen them as wise, esteemed people. They could even go and visit a king like Herod. So what were they? Well, the word in Greek does not literally mean wise men. In fact, we don't really even know that they were men. It's that funny word, magi, or magi, as some people say. Magi were a priestly class of astrologers. Greeks and Romans saw them as powerful and magical. In fact, it's where we get our word magician from. Now, make no mistake, they were more than just magicians, almost definitely highly intelligent in an academic sense. They knew things. They had great knowledge of philosophy and astrology and basically what was the known universe in those days. But they weren't wise, not from a biblical point of view anyway. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So actually to be wise, to have wisdom, wasn't about how much stuff you know or how brilliant you are in the eyes of the empire, but do you know God? These people, these magi, were astrologers, but sorcerers even perhaps, things that were incompatible with belief in God. And to add to all the scandal, they were Gentiles, which means they were not ethnically Jewish. So in one sense, they were actually rather foolish. They had been seeking wisdom in stars and alike, when ultimately wisdom would be revealed to them not in star charts, but in a tiny baby. The baby Jesus who created the stars. I say all this because I don't know about you, but I've heard a few sermons at that other great festival of Christmas that really focus on the shepherds. And I sometimes feel a bit sorry for the shepherds. They get a bad rap, considering we know very little about them. The stuff I've heard preachers say is, those shepherds, they were smelly, unintelligent, working class, down and outs, rejected by society. And then the message goes, but hey, look, they were invited to visit and adore Jesus at his birth. Not royalty, not greatness, but shepherds. Dirty shepherds. The good news is God isn't looking for greatness. He's calling rejects, down and outs, the smelly ones like me and you. And then the preacher says, amen, and let us pray. Has anyone else heard a message like that? Was it just me? Some of you have. Okay, good. Now, I'm not saying that isn't true. And if that message has been encouraging to you, then, you know, hang on to that. Hang on to the encouragement. Because let's face it, if you knew God was coming to show up, would you invite some random shepherds? So there is some truth in there. It's a good point. And they were working class. Probably not the greatest minds in Israel either. But here's the thing. I don't think we have more in common with the Magi, the wise men, than we do with the shepherds. Shepherds, though everyone else might have forgotten about them, those shepherds were Jews. They were God-fearing, which means they were wise. They were ultimately seeking God in the right places. But these Magi, not Jews like most of us, I'm assuming that most of us aren't ethnic Jews, those Magi were not seeking God in the right places, as we'll see. So that's who the Magi are. And then they speak in verse 2. They've racked up to Jerusalem, possibly a caravan of them. Do you know, in the Eastern Church, they actually celebrate 12 Magi coming. We celebrate 3, but we don't know how many there were. But there might have been a great number of them turning up, enough to cause a bit of a scene in Jerusalem. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Seems a logical place to start. The King of the Jews, let's go to Jerusalem. That's where the king's palace is. We'll probably find him there. But how did they get there? They followed a star. Uh-oh, that's not a very biblical thing to do, says Matthew's pretend audience in my head. Reading the stars, surely they've got it wrong with their pagan practices. You can't find God in these ways. Matthew isn't condoning these practices. He's not saying this is a good thing. He's saying to his mainly Jewish audience, God might bring people into the kingdom, pagans, by ways you may not think as right. So let's just think about that. The Bible makes clear that these pagan practices are ultimately powerless. There's nothing in them. To give a modern example, horoscopes might be right every once in a while, but a broken clock is right twice a day. So this means these Magi were sat at home in the East, presumably Basildon, or somewhere, looking at their star charts, and they discover something about this star in the sky. And they think, oh, King of the Jews, that's related to this star in the sky. We've read that in our traditions, and we should go and worship him. So that means that God planned, before the foundation of the world, to have that truth gently boiling away in the traditions of these Magi, just waiting for exactly the right time when this star would appear. I bet they felt so wise, don't you? Ah, we have discovered something. We know about the King of the Jews. Let's go worship. But really, their charts were nonsense. It was just God giving them a gentle push. So they get almost there. They followed the star, but they need some assistance. So Herod hears about them, and he is troubled. Troubled because he doesn't know what's going on. New king. I'm the king, he must have thought. So he gets his wise and learned people together, his advisors, chief priests, scribes of the people, people who really knew about the Messiah. He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. So they come back to him after having a bit of a think, and they read the prophecy from Micah. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. What is amazing is after these people turn up from the east, after the Jewish leaders read the prophecy, not Herod or a single priest or a scribe think to go to Bethlehem. It's shocking. Instead, Herod calls a meeting in which he tries to send the Magi to spy on this baby on his behalf. We know that when they don't come back to him, and after Mary, Joseph, and Jesus flee to Egypt, Herod orders the killing of all the males under two in the region. What a contrast. Pagans, who you don't expect to know anything about Jewish custom, about Magi, about Messiah, and the reigning king of Israel. Herod was at least half Jewish, and yet he's planning to kill children. That's why this is a story about Epiphany. It's a story about grace, because it's not about what you know. It's about the God who reveals himself. And so we know how the story ends. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. I think this is when the Epiphany happened. When they saw this king, King Jesus, the Word of God made flesh. It was made known to them. Not because they were bright, not because they were the most powerful, but because of the kindness and the gracefulness of God. That's the God they worshipped. They worshipped him with gold and frankincense and myrrh. Great and expensive gifts, all gifts for a noble king, and they worshipped. That's what Christmas and Epiphany is about. It's about the God who comes down to find us. We don't have to scramble around in the dark. He is the light shining in darkness. What a kind and generous and gracious God we have. It reminds me of a modern worship song that talks about God's grace. It says this: it chases me down, fights till I'm found. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. That's what grace is about. It's a free gift. It's not dependent on your ability. It's about the God who comes after you. The God who will come after you in the form of his own son, who came into the world in a womb, whose first cot was a manger, whose only throne on earth was a cross, who is led down dead in a borrowed tomb, and yet death has no hold on him. Death is trampled under his foot. His grace is available to you because he lives. That's the grace of God. What about those we know who don't yet know his grace? maybe that's you. And I'm going to pray for you in a moment. We all seek after stuff, whether it's stars in the sky, or money, or fame, or family, or security. If anything, the wise men show us, the Magi show us, that God can use any of that to bring someone into his grace, to make himself known to them, to give them epiphany. And that's why I'm excited about Alpha, which is something we're running in this parish. Maybe you have a friend who seems to be seeking in all the wrong places. Why don't you allow Alpha to be the star in the sky that leads them to an epiphany, to a revelation of the true God? It's a really fantastic opportunity, and I encourage you to take hold of that and maybe to have your own revelations, your own epiphanies as you do Alpha. I have epiphanies every time I do Alpha. I learn something new about God. The wise men show us that God can use anything to bring someone into his grace, to make himself known to them, to give them epiphany. Let us pray. Good Father, we thank you that you are a kind and gracious God. We thank you that we can know you, not dependent on our own ability, but on your revelation of self to us, that you show us yourself, that you come down to find us, that you fight till we're found, that you chase us down. And so, Father, I pray for anyone here this morning who hasn't had that revelation of you, that you would show yourself to them, that you would make yourself known. Come, Holy Spirit. And Father, we also pray for those we know who haven't had a revelation of you, that they haven't had an epiphany. We pray that maybe through Alpha or through any other means, that they would come to know you. In Jesus' name. Amen.